Gotcha.
101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Looking to discover and support local businesses in our community, then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homa Blow and Bailey Coleman for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week, you will hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they are located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses and the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homa Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local businesses. Milwaukee, the world, anyone tuning in, thank you so much for officially tapping in with your girl Jazz Tyler. If you are just now joining us today, we are talking about who tells you who you are, your identity, right? And a lot of people run from it because they're afraid that they put identity crisis in the same sentence as being fake or, you know, not being who you truly are. And that's not what it is, right? It's a multitude of things, and it involves healing and growth. So prior to break, we were talking about the different steps that could be taken in order to sit with yourself, acknowledge yourself, understand you aren't who you used to be, understand who you are now and where it is that you're trying to go. Just to recap a few of them, separate who I am from what happened to me, identify the identities that you inherited. Who your family is may not be who you are. Audit your five closest relationships. Look at the five people you spend the most time with, right? Pay attention to what makes you angry and why. Determine your non-negotiable values, right? This is your principles. There are certain things that you should stand on that nothing or no one should cause you to. It should cause you to make you conform to something you don't believe in. Look at your behavior and not your intentions. You cannot walk around saying that's just who I am. That's not how life works. Your repeated behavior is probably a better indicator of your identity than your self-description. Don't tell me who you think you are. I want you to look at your actions, right? Ask yourself, who am I trying to impress? Why are you constantly posting pictures of you on vacation or every accolade you get? Before we left, I was just explaining that I revamped my social media. And speaking of that, that's number eight. Conduct a social media identity audit, right? What story would a stranger tell about you after they paid attention to your social media? And the reason why I bring it up, I know that there's some people who say, hey, what I post on social media ain't me. But depending on your career and where you are and who you are, it matters, right? If it looks like it's all over the place, that's a signal of who, it signifies who you are. It's still attached to your identity, whether you want it to be or not. Find out what you believe when your tribe disagrees. What belief do I hold that my own political, religious, professional, or social group don't like? And stop making your entire identity one thing, right? It's not. We are layers. As human beings, we have layers. We are more than just one title, more than just one word, right? You can't keep boxing yourself up based off of these one things. Give yourself permission to change, right? This is who I am. Maybe at 18, but not at the age that you are now. You are allowed to update yourself. You know how if you are Apple users, they always going to send you those reminders. You have an update. When do you want to install it, now or later? You have to do that with yourself. You have to update yourself. It's okay for your beliefs to change, your career to change, your friendship to change, your priorities and your success. Changing your mind isn't necessarily a lack of identity. Sometimes it's evidence that your identity is developing. How many of y'all have talked yourself out of something because it's not what you're used to? I don't like this anymore, but I have to like it because that don't make sense. That don't even sound like me to say that I wouldn't do this or I would do that. That just simply means that you're growing. That simply means that you are outgrowing the person that you are. You are starting to discover pieces of yourself that you did not know exist because it was trials. It was trauma. It was so much pain and confusion sitting on top of it. You couldn't get through to it. It was impossible for you to get to it because you had not worked through everything else first. Right? Develop an identity statement. You have to say these words to yourself. I am a person of discipline. I am a person of loyalty. I am a person of truth. I am a person who is purpose-driven and not activity-driven. I am a person of love. I am a person who is impactful. I am a person who believes that whatever platform I have to utilize it in order to help change someone else's life. These are constant daily affirmations. Y'all hear me talk about it all the time, but you're speaking it. When you speak it and you look at yourself while you're doing it, you begin to feel it. It's like what they say when you go and get a new outfit, right? You want to look good. You want to feel good, look good. Dress the part. That's what I was taught growing up. My mama always told me, I don't care if I have on jogging pants and a t-shirt. Don't matter. Always look the part because you're going to feel good about yourself. And then when you run into others, they're going to be able to notice how you feel, right? You can see people. Y'all probably done see me out and about because I'm going to tell you, I don't care. I'm telling y'all right now. You may see me at a Walmart piece. I may got a ponytail and a hat on, some jogger pants and a t-shirt, especially if it's on a Saturday because I have to clean and cook and prepare for the next week. But guess what? That smile, my energy is going to tell you that I may be looking a little, you know, like I'm getting to it, but I feel good on the inside. Still not looking crazy, but I still feel good on the inside, right? I'm a person who keeps my word. I am a person who take care of my family. I'm a person who tell the truth even when it's uncomfortable. If that's who you are, be that person and stand on it. Because who is anybody else to tell you otherwise? You have to also ask the ultimate identity question. If you were moved, okay, listen, this one is a lot. This one is a lot, right? If you remove your job, if you remove your money, if you remove your political affiliation, your race, your neighborhood, your possessions, your social media following, everybody else's expectations, what would still be left? If you didn't have your title, if you didn't have that car, that house, that reputation, who are you, right? Who are you? When you remove all of those layers, who are you, right? Don't let an institution or a political party or social media algorithm, family members, neighborhoods, celebrities, whoever, tell you who you think you are. You have to determine that yourself. So again, when we're talking about doing the work for identity, we're not saying that you don't know who you are. We're not saying any of that. We're saying everything that's a part of your life defines who you are. And that changes based on age, based on life events, based on locations, based on all of the above. What I wore when I was 18 ain't what I'm wearing at 38. The music I listened to in my 20s is not the music that I listen to today. I am allowed to become who it is that I need to become without anybody telling me otherwise. So again, if you are just joining us, we are talking about identity. To take it back to the top, one of the things we face is people often try and make you remember who you used to be because they aren't satisfied with who they are. They don't know who they are. That has nothing to do with you. The identities that you hang on to based off your family's tradition and what you inherited without asking, that's not you. Some of those things may be you, but ultimately, had they not told you that, that would not be you. You have to sit with yourself and figure that part out. What makes you you? Not how you look, what you got, none of that. What do you stand for? What does your character look like? What does your principles look like? What does your integrity look like? That's how you determine your identity. This is who I am. This is why I like, and we also talked about that. Stop assuming that you like something based off of someone else. You have to sit back and ask yourself, why do you like it? Man, I like this shirt. Not because so-and-so wore it, but because it's something in you that you was attracted, that made you attracted to it. You have to sit with yourself and go through all of these things in order to become the person that you want to become and to be comfortable in your own skin. I'm okay with being misunderstood because I understand that not everybody has walked in my shoes, right? I'm okay with not providing updates on my life because you just had to be there. Some stuff the camera ain't for. I'm okay with people coming up with whatever philosophy, whatever in their head about me, because at the end of the day, I know who I am. And the people that's around me know who I am. And that's how you have to operate, right? Don't be afraid to be yourself. So, with that being said, my call to action before we get into our special guest after the break, my call to action to you is take some time to yourself. Take some time to relearn yourself. If you don't like that food no more, that's okay. If you don't like going to this club no more, that's okay. If you don't like your relationship no more because you feel like you're growing, that's okay. Whatever it is, it's okay. Be who it is that God intended you to be. Continue to do the self-work so that you can be a better version of yourself. That's the name of the game. Ultimately, you want to be a better version of yourself, right? And that's okay. Coming up next, we are taking everything we've been talking about, identity reinvention, and having the courage to start another chapter and putting a real Milwaukee story behind it. Next up, Larry Tatum joins us. We're going to talk about music, fashion, business, art and management, all of the above. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.
World's hot, my son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a plate. Knowledge, if Coke was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine that.
101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of The Truth for almost 100 years. They've been committed to helping families protect what matters most. Your home, your vehicle, and the dreams you are building every single day. If you are a part of The Truth audience, you already know you work hard for yours. That's why having the right protection in place matters. American Family helps you stay ready for whatever life brings so you can focus on moving forward. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin. Yo, Truth Nation. Welcome back. You are officially tapped in. Now, check this out. For those who are just now tuning in, for all hour we've been talking about identity and how difficult it can be to allow yourself to evolve. My next guest embodies that conversation. Milwaukee knows him as Loud Pack Larry from his roots in music, but his creativity did not stop there. He transitioned into fashion, building an exclusive brand. And today, he's also stepped into artist management. And I specifically wanted this conversation because I don't want to just celebrate the destination. I want to understand the transitions. Thank you so much, Loud Pack, for tapping in with us. How you doing today?
What it do? What it do, Jazzy? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, let's hop right into it. When you strip away the music, the fashion, the management, and every title you've ever had, who is Loud Pack?
That's what I could answer that is. I could just say I'm just unapologetically me.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Take me back to the beginning. What did music originally give you that you weren't getting anywhere else?
Music gave me a sense of individuality. It gave me a sense of style. It gave me a sense of love and perfecting a craft, or at least trying to.
Yeah.
Above a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Music was really like my first love.
So back then, this sounds crazy. It makes us sound old. Back then during the music time, did you foresee yourself being who you are now?
Nah, but in my eyes, I'm kind of like not where I thought I'd see myself. I'm still working towards that.
Yeah.
I'm like my hardest critic. I'm real hard on myself, so I ain't where I plan to be yet.
Yep. We still, and I just talked about that too. We still are growing, right? And we still young.
Definitely.
Like, we've been doing it for a long time, so we still have a long life ahead of us to accomplish whatever it is that we're trying to. Was there ever a point where the identity of being in music became bigger than your actual love for making music?
No, not really, because I think the two coincide. It just, from a financial standpoint with me, the clothes was doing better than the music was for me. And as I got older and I got more responsibilities and stuff that I had to take care of, I had to be smart.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And go with, bring the bacon home. You know what I'm saying? So.
Absolutely, I had
to pick clothes for a while, but I never leaned off the music because, like I said, they kind of like go hand in hand. So my plan was always whichever one go first, I'ma go hard on the other one off of what I did off the other one. But I just leaned towards the clothes because that never failed me.
Yeah,
and I never gave up on the music. So like when I get to a certain status I'm at with the fashion, I'm still gonna go back and do my music. I'm still gonna pursue that.
Absolutely. What did music teach you about branding before you ever even started to brand with the clothing line?
You got to look like something.
Absolutely.
All the time. Like, image is everything. I mean, I know everybody not into fashion and dressing, but from personal experience, I've met a lot of people from different walks of life just off having on certain things, or they're complimenting stuff that I had on or having certain questions, and that always just stuck with me. Like, I always want to look presentable because you never know who you might run into, or never know who, you know, might like something you got on and might want to spark up a conversation. And again, I've came across some very, very high profile people just off those things alone.
Yeah. So when we talk about identity, we know that I was saying earlier how, you know, who told you who you were, right? It starts at home first, the way your parents dress you, the things that you see, you know, when you become older and you start to like certain things. What was it about fashion that made you say, hey, this is, when you were designing, this is what I wanted to look like because this is how I feel on the inside? How does that process work, the creative process?
Well, when I was younger, my mom, she tried to put me in certain things that
you had the three-piece suit.
Man, three-piece suit, the suspenders, me matching my brother, and I wasn't feeling that. So when it was time to get dressed for school, I always had a problem with what was set out, and I was always switching stuff around and, you know, trying to be different because I didn't want to look like nobody else.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, you know, I was trying to look like what I seen on TV. Like, I was always into rapping, like BET and MTV and all that stuff. So everything I was seeing, as far as the rappers and the celebrities, when I wanted to dress like that, because I felt like that's who I was.
Yeah.
But mom's wasn't going for that, and the financial status wasn't always there, so I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So earlier we were talking about imposter syndrome, which is, you know, am I good enough? Like, when something comes, a big opportunity is like, am I good enough? Am I really qualified? Did you ever feel like there was a moment where you was like, hold on, fashion or clothing line? Like, can I really do this? Do I really believe it's going to be successful?
I kind of felt like by the time I started messing with the clothes stuff, I kind of felt like I had the city behind me and people was pretty much like gravitating towards what I was doing on a high level. So the transition was kind of really easy for me.
Yeah.
Not being cocky like I knew, but I mean, like, if your whole life people been complimenting your clothes,
yeah,
and calling you to help them get dressed and all this type of stuff, if you start a clothing line, why wouldn't they mess with it?
Absolutely.
At least give it a try. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So how important is identity when it comes to fashion?
It's very important because fashion sometimes can be like a repeat of what you've seen before throughout history. So you got to just stay innovative. You have to stay paying attention to what the who's wearing, the different color palettes, different styles, textiles, everything. Like, you got to really be on it to be consistent and be able to stay up on it and have people still shopping with you, because fashion changes every day.
Yep.
And it's all about influence. So I'm saying that to say, if someone who's highly influenceable as far as the internet goes, they can say, we're not going to wear this today, and then the whole world will start wearing, then your money stop.
Yep.
Or can say, we're going to start wearing this today, and then something that you probably been had in the cut for a minute start popping now. So that's just how fashion works.
Yes. So, again, with the topic of identity, right? And we're not talking identity like as if we don't know who we are, because we know who we are.
Right.
But we grow, right? We evolve. The person we was 10, 15 years ago is not the person we are today. What part of your old identity did you have to kill in order for this version of you to live?
I would say I had to just buckle down and get, like, and focus more on the business side of things and the financial side.
Yeah.
And realize that life ain't a party, and just getting fresh all the time and going out and being in the spotlight, you got real business to take care of behind the scenes. And a lot of times I lose sight of that with all the different money coming in and different opportunities and stuff that I have going on. I got to get back to reality and get the finances and the business taken care of so it can keep going.
Absolutely. I was talking about that earlier too. And it be hard. Sometimes it's hard because you are used to a certain lifestyle. You are used to doing certain things. And it's like what I'm noticing, the conversation, I don't know if this happens to you, but when I first moved back home, I would see people I hadn't seen in years, and they'd be like, they'll bring up something from back then, right? Good or bad. And it's like, whether I remember or not, that's not who I am. I can't relate because I'm not that person. How important is evolving to you, and how do you deal with people who try to hold you to who you used to be?
As far as people trying to hold me to who I used to be, I don't let it bother me, because in life I just learned to kind of accept people for who they are and not get mad at them or myself for them not being the versions of themselves that I want them to be or expect them to be.
Yep.
And vice versa. So if I'm not who you expect me to be, or you think I should be the person that you thought I was 10, 20 years ago, because a lot of times people don't even be knowing me.
Right.
That's kind of like a personal problem. You know
what I'm
saying? I don't really let it get to me or let it affect nothing that I got going on.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, before we get into the next segment, I personally want to say, because I don't see you that often, but I personally want to say that I love what you're doing. I love the fact that the city is behind it. I love the fact that you are influential when it comes to Milwaukee culture. And, you know, whether people know or not, your history when it comes to music and the grind, you deserve to be where you are. And we are hard on ourselves. We be like,
that.
I ain't where I'm supposed to be. I always say that. And then I look and be like, well, sometimes you got to think about where you came from.
Yeah, definitely came a long way.
You got to think about where you came from and where you're going. We're going from reinvention to ownership next, because wearing clothes is one thing, but creating something people want to wear and getting them to pay for it is completely different. Loud Pack fashion business, right? Exclusive, right? We're talking about that when we come back for break. Do not touch the dial. It's your girl Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.
Working me. She working me. Urging me. It be urging me. Chill it up, the top of cold, the curtain, please.
101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Shout out to all of our listeners. If you are on your way home from work, make sure you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, 101.7 The Truth, when you get done cooking that food. We want to see you. Shout out to the chat. Jasmine W says, I needed this episode. Thank you so much, Jazz, for tapping in. I needed it too, man, for real. Shout out to My D. Happy Wednesday, My D. Thank you so much for tapping in. You a little late today, but it's all right. We going to catch you up. If you have not had a chance to check out the full interview, make sure you go to YouTube, 101.7 The Truth, tap in. And check it out once we are done. We are joined by one of the most influential beings in this city, Loud Pack. Thank you so much for joining us again. We are talking about fashion. We are talking about identity, all of the above. You have two clothing brands, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Can you walk us through each clothing brand?
So my first clothing line was called Loud Life Apparel. That was my baby. That was like my introductory to it or whatever. And it was it's basically like a a fly marijuana based clothing line. Mm-hmm. It's doing very, very good. It's still doing very good. But that Loud Life, that brand kind of put me in a box as far as fashion went.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is everyone don't want to associate with marijuana, and people that do associate with marijuana, they might not want to wear it on their clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like bad for business in the fashion world. When you put in a box, then that means only a certain demographic of people will buy your stuff.
Right.
Which is cool because the marijuana business is booming, it's cracking, or whatever the case may be, but I'm bigger than that. Like,
yeah.
I ain't just no marijuana clothing brand. So I had to come up with something that was unbiased that people could mess with and like just because it was dope and it didn't have no affiliation with no drugs or none of that type of thing. It was just a dope brand that people liked.
Yeah.
So I came up with Plastic Official. That's my second clothing line. Right now, we're in the process of still promoting and trying to get our audience and our fan base growing. So I just been doing one-on-one custom orders and doing little small drops here and there. But, yeah, that's how Plastic was born, off of Loud Life, being inside of a box that I didn't want to be in anymore.
Got you. So, first and foremost, I think it's dope that you were able to recognize that because that's the problem with a lot of people that have business. It's like they just do what they want to do, but they're not paying attention to the demand,
right?
And opening up for other people. But what's interesting to me is that you were able to pivot and create something else that's also exclusive. And we're talking about identity. So my question to you is, why is that important? Why is it important to create exclusive clothing for specific people?
Because, like, when it comes to fashion, it's like if you know, you know type of thing. Everybody don't be wanting to look like everybody else.
Yes.
So that's where the exclusivity of my brand come in at. I give them a chance to bring their ideas with my creativity to life and create, like, some nice pieces that you could actually wear and be proud of, and it's not looking like something that somebody painted on, or
yeah,
something somebody just printed on. Nothing against that,
right,
that type of thing. But
quality matters.
Yeah, quality definitely matters, and that's what I stand on 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got to ask you this because this is so funny to me, and I know exactly what it means, but I'm not a fashion designer. I want to hear it from a fashion designer. What's the difference between somebody who knows how to dress and somebody who actually understands fashion?
The difference is, hold on, let me think about that for a second. The difference is you gotta understand that fashion is more than just putting on clothes and getting fresh. It's like a feeling, it's like a mood, it's like a vibe.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you just gotta have it. It's like you got it or you don't.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So I can't really say it's a difference, but it's like I said before, it's like if you know, you know. Like you gotta just have that vibe. It just gotta be in you. Cause anybody can go to the store and get something off their mannequin or look on the internet and copy what they seen somebody put together and put their own little twist to it. But to actually create things and create stuff from nothing that people want to follow or copy and wear, like, that, it's got to be in you. It got to be, it's something I can't explain. Really.
No, I understand exactly what you mean. Back in the day, remember in high school, it was, the big thing was, like, throwback jerseys, jersey dresses, you know what I'm saying? You matching your shirt with your shoes,
right,
and your belt,
right,
all
right,
of that stuff.
Right.
That's dressing. But
yeah,
what you're doing is fashion. It's like, to me, fashion is embodying who you are inside. So you're pretty much taking who you are inside and allowing the world to see it on the outside,
right,
based off your creativity.
It's like wearing your mood on your,
yes,
on your shirt.
Yes. Yep, exactly. And what you wear defines who you are. Truth be told, how you feel about yourself.
Especially in certain rooms, for sure.
Yep, absolutely. So let's talk about the identity piece when it comes to your clothing brand and tying it into Milwaukee. From Milwaukee culture to you growing up here, the things you've been around, the things that you've seen, and just you being who you are, how much is Milwaukee embedded into your style of fashion?
Milwaukee, okay, first of all, let me say this about Milwaukee. Milwaukee is like a melting pot, a different cultures, different walks of life.
Yeah.
So Milwaukee really didn't have a style as far as fashion. I can honestly say that I created, or if not helped create,
yeah,
like a style for us, which is the two-piece joggy.
Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can actually say that I was like the first to put that to the forefront and was selling them and, you know, made it popular. And I got that from just being around a long time and seeing what people buy more of, including myself. Mm-hmm. Everybody want to be comfortable. You want something that you can just throw on and go to the grocery store, go pick up your kids. You know what I'm saying? And you don't gotta be a whole lot to it, but it still be nice. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, even myself, when I don't want to fully get dressed and put together pieces and stuff, I want to put on me a nice little jogging, nice little two-piece.
Yeah.
And that's what everyone around me was wearing. So I'm like, let me create a joggy.
Yeah.
And it just went crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fire. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of jelly. I don't have no merch. I got to get some.
We definitely put it together.
I got to get some. Do you think that Milwaukee supports its creatives early enough, or do you think that we wait for another city to validate it first?
It's like a two answer. I got two answers to that. Because certain people, when they going through their grind, whatever it is, whether it's music or what have you, sometimes the city don't mess with you until somebody else stamp you.
Yep.
Sometimes it's they like being followers. But me personally, my experience, I can't say that. My city supported me the whole time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They still supported me. And I feel like once I cross certain paths with certain people and I get a certain stamp, it's really gonna go harder and get you know what I mean, get bigger. So like I said, it's two different ways to answer that. Some people go through that, but I was blessed enough not to. I ain't gonna sit up here and lie and act like the city don't mess with me because it's the right thing to do or it sounds slick. No, they mess with me. But some people don't got the same story as me. They can't say that. You know what I mean? And I understand that too. So it's two ways to answer that.
Yep, absolutely. What has been the biggest business lesson that creativity alone couldn't teach you?
Is that everybody that say they're your friend or say that they with you or say that they're rooting for you not.
Yep.
And you have to be okay with accepting that and moving forward.
Absolutely. Especially when you're building a business. We was talking about that earlier. Like, the first people that should support you should be the people you're around 24/7, including your family. But 9 times out of 10, and again, this ain't everybody. It don't be them.
Yeah, ain't no friends in business.
Yeah,
like business is business, and you gotta keep it that way, or otherwise they'll try to veer it off into something else. And you absolutely right. Like, strangers will be your biggest supporters way before your family. You know what I mean? Ever will be, and I'm saying that from experience. Like, I wish it wasn't like that, but like the streets did what they did for me.
Yeah,
my family wasn't, you know what I mean, going crazy. Don't get me wrong though. I do got a couple of cousins that shop. Shout out to my cousin Kiana. She stays shopping with me. I love you, Deb. I thank you for that. But it's not a lot of people like her that's in my family that we grew up together and they saw my grind and they know where I come from with this. They come and support. When they come, they want something for free or you know what I mean? Or asking for a lookout or a handout, or you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I cherish the ones that show up for me and, you know, support me. The ones that don't, I can just answer a question for you like this. But other than that, I don't give them no airplay.
Yeah, yep, absolutely, absolutely. And the crazy thing about it is the entitlement people feel like, why do you feel like you entitled to what I work for when you didn't even help me, let alone support me, but you want me to pull up and drop some merch off? Do you know how much it costs for me to make this? Do you know how much went into me putting this together? Not even just physically, but my mind, right? You're paying for my experience. You're paying for the quality. You're paying for all of that.
I be feeling like people think I own a forest or something because they think everything I do is growing trees and just falls.
Yeah.
Grace, and it just happens, and you know what I mean? So
Trust me, I get it. And I say that because I want the listeners to understand too, like, stop doing that if you are one of those people. Like,
man, support your people, man.
We need it, because if we don't support us, who else? Like, if you can go spend all that money wearing the same Louis bag everybody else got, You can spend money with your own people. That should be the first place that you go to. We got to go to break. When we come back, we are going to talk about management, right? And I want to know what happens when you've already lived the dream your client is chasing, and how do you help them figure out who they are? Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. We are live and direct. We are joined by Tamia. My eyes, man, the most influential fashion designer that comes out the crib. I don't see you often, but I do see what you're doing, and I have to acknowledge the impact that you have made on our city. With that being said, you are now in management, right? You're managing the artist.
I am. Shout out to Lonnie Monet.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So, Lonnie, that's her mama named Kayla?
Yep.
I used to work with Kayla. I remember when she was younger and she first started. Yep. That's dope. So, one of the things, especially with me also being a former artist, I talk about all the time the mistakes and people around that allowed me to make mistakes and not help me grow. Because you was an artist, what mistakes can you help your artist avoid, or how do you go about doing that?
When I see her going through certain things that I went through or was about to go through, and I see how the plan can get thrown off or something can be awkward, I try to redirect it and give advice based on my experience.
Yeah.
And with receipts, because a lot of times people just don't go off of what you just say. You got to show them and be like,
Absolutely. Absolutely. How important is image and fashion to artist development?
It's very important because, like I said before, fashion and music coincide. You have to look like something. The first thing I want to say about being a manager that I learned, well, I didn't learn this, I've been new to this, but people always coming up to me and, Can you be my manager, but you don't have nothing to manage.
Come on now.
And what I've seen about that is it's not just about the music. Everybody can rap. I can rap. You can rap. That ain't nothing. You can make an AI song and rap, but when it's time to put the full package together, what does this look like?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like what audience is we catering to? Like what image is we trying to push forward? Like what we doing?
Yeah.
It's that's why I like how things were back in the day as far as that.
Yeah.
With the music, you had to have artist development. You had to actually be trained to actually be an artist. You can't just say I can rap or I can do songs and you just get put on TV. No.
Yep.
You got to get your image together. You got to get your look together. If you weigh a certain amount, you got to lose weight or you got to gain weight. It was a whole development to get you to who you thought you was or who you thought you wanted to be. And that's kind of gone now. So I be kind of like wanting to bring that back with my management.
Yeah. And you should, though, because it's needed, right? It's a part of also helping people figure out who they are. Like, without the artist development, you don't know your sound, you don't know your image, you don't know who it is what it is that you're putting out, right? You're just doing something. Like you said, you're just doing something. But back then, the artists, you know, and I can't say all are like that today, but back then, I feel like we actually stood for something, and we wanted to convey who we was at a high level. So the artist development was crucial in our careers. It was crucial and it was important for people to know that this is the type of person I am.
Yeah, because we didn't have the opportunities and the devices, and it wasn't as easy. It wasn't like handed to us like it's handed to them now. And how it's handed to them now was through this internet and through these phones.
Like, yes.
We didn't have all that. You had to really be outside and really go show your face and really be in these clubs and these bars rapping and performing and handing out flyers, throwing parties, and really connecting with the people to get known. And it's because of people like me and you that they able to do that here and be accepted, and it's cool. Like, they probably, like, nowadays, they be, I ain't doing no flyers. I wouldn't. It's like,
what?
Man, do y'all not know that if we didn't hand out flyers, if we didn't have open mic nights, we wouldn't be on the map as far as music. You wouldn't be accepted. Y'all wouldn't be accepted. But that's a whole other story, a whole other interview.
For real.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah.
I talk about it all the time, for real. And it frustrates me because it's like, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Right. I hate that. I hate that the most. It's like, But I don't know. That's just come with being younger than the newer generation. And again, I don't got no problem with it. I respect it. But
yeah,
that's just where we kind of disconnect it.
Yep. Absolutely. So speaking of the younger generation, one of the reasons why I do this platform is because I want people like you to be able to, I want them to listen to us, right? Trying to bridge the gap in the generation. And it's not that they don't want to, because they do. It's just that we have to continue to open the doors. But when we're talking about transitions, right, you've transitioned from an artist to fashion to management, and you still kind of do all three at the same time. But how do you maintain your sanity and your identity while going through these transitions?
Honestly, sometimes I don't know how I do it. I just, not to be on a religious stuff, but I just keep my faith in God.
Yes.
And stay prayed up, and I keep it moving. I try not to let stuff stress me out or get me out of my character that really don't matter or really affect my well-being.
Yeah. Yep. So if the young Larry Loudpack from the music days could see the man sitting here today, what do you think he'd be most surprised by or proud of?
The fact that I'm still going. I'm still trying to push forward the same agenda I was pushing, trying to push forward 20 yeah. years ago.
Yeah.
Because I truly believe that if you stay down, ain't no choice but to come up.
Yep.
And you got to stick with your dreams and you got to follow them. Otherwise, it ain't going to never happen, never come true.
Absolutely. So why have you, what is some advice? And it's like a cliche answer, but I really do be trying to give the youth some hope.
Yeah.
With everything that you've been through that's known or not known publicly, as just personal triumphs, period, from business to music to all of it. What advice can you give to the younger generation as far as some things you did to keep going? Like, because I know there's times, like, and we've been around for a long time, you know, so there's times where you be like, man.
I could tell the younger generation is what I tell my oldest son, or I try to instill to him. Be an individual. Like, have a mind of your own. Stand on your own 10.
Yes.
Don't do nothing that you don't feel comfortable with doing. Don't be easy influenced.
Yes.
Be who you are. Make people respect you for who you are. And if they don't like that, then they're not for you. And it's okay to be. It's okay for people not to be for you, because everybody not for you. Everybody not gonna like you. It's not how the world works. It don't work like that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You have to be an individual. My life story on how I maneuver around the town, how I maneuver through life. I always been myself. That's why when you asked me that question, I said I'm unapologetically me.
Yeah.
I don't know how to be nobody else. I don't know how to do what you do. I don't want to do what you do.
Yeah.
Because doing me is what worked for me all these years, and it's continuing to work for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm respected by the who's, people that's way up high in the ranks and way down lower. I'm respected the same because I've always been me. I never came into any situation trying to copy or act like somebody I wasn't, or just because I'm around you, I want to wear the same thing you wear or talk like you. No, I'm me.
Yep.
And by me being me, it makes people gravitate towards me more and copy stuff that I do and want to be like me and get advice from me and, you know, take pointers from me just off of me being me, because they see so much of the same stuff and so many people, you know, just being on the same accord. When you catch somebody that's different and standing on it, it's like, I want to see what's up with dude. Like, or he cool. I want to be like him, or I want to learn something from him. You know what I mean? I ain't going to say it's always about being like somebody, but ain't nothing wrong with aspiring to want to learn something from somebody, or to take something from somebody that you found out or learned and twisting it around and making it better for yourself or elevating it further for yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely. So as we wrap up, I have one final question for you. I am big on legacy. To me, legacy is more important than life, because the work that I've done, when I leave, I needed to keep going. What is your legacy? You know, when you are no longer doing what you're doing, not saying transitioning, but when you are no longer doing what you're doing, what do you want people to remember?
That I was probably one of the elite creators around this town, and man, I could honestly say I changed a lot of people's lives. I put a lot of people on game, as far as music, fashion, life, business, and I just know I can't like really put like a word on it or like a phrase on it. I just know and when it comes to Milwaukee,
yeah,
you got to mention me.
Yeah.
And when I'm gone, they still going to talk about me. You still going to be able to pull the receipts and show what I did, show what I started, you know what I mean? Everything. So, and I'm still going. So my legacy can continue to grow. So,
yes, indeed.
You know what
yes,
I'm saying?
Indeed. How can people find you? How can people purchase your gear as well?
You can catch me on Instagram at Plastic Official or Loud Life Apparel or my personal page, Loud Pack Larry 2. You can purchase Loud Life Apparel off loudlifeapparel.net. That's the online store. To purchase Plastic, you got to DM me or call me or tap into somebody who know to get it done, because the Plastic ain't for everybody, but yeah. I want everybody to have it. But we got to keep it super exclusive like we've been doing. So, yeah.
Yes,
thank y'all for having me.
You got any shout-outs?
Shout out to Lonnie Monet. Shout out to both of my sons. Shout out to my brother. Shout out to the gang. Shit, shout out to the whole city of Milwaukee.
It's okay. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thank y'all so much. Make sure y'all tap in tomorrow morning show with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, followed by Sherwin Hughes and a lunch break with my big bro Ray Nitty and maybe Shannon. Then we're going to spin a block and come back to tap in 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Again, thank you so much, Loud Pack, for joining us, Milwaukee.
Thank you for having me.
Happy Hump Day. I'll see y'all tomorrow. Peace.